Hey, fellow adventurers, Tyrone here. Just a reminder, if you can, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this episode of Modus Critica. It really helps us get the word out. Thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the episode.
Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Modus Critica. After the loss of Gord Godhand, our heroes were left imprisoned in the cells of Nagthrok, where a strange shaman paid them an unexpected visit. Informing the party where the plans to Magteria were, he insisted that the party had allies amongst the orcs and that they could help each other if they met him near the ruins north of the village. In desperation, they broke free from the cells, retrieved the plans, and made way for the ruins. As they set eyes on the old building, an eerie hum surrounded them as they realized that Nevlin was glowing.
Welcome to Modus Critica, an actual play 5th edition D&D podcast. We are Five Finger Discounts, just looking for a warm pocket to hop into. And we're looking to role play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those six people are...
Oh my goodness.
I am Cornelius!
That's it. That's all I'm doing.
Okay.
Oh, but yeah, my name is Eric.
That's nice. That was. I like that. I didn't like that.
Not your best work.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'll be playing Narios Adolfo, Church of Mercule, loving priest of death over life.
What?
I know? Feel like maybe we'll might need a redo. For I haven't even said mine yet, but I already feel like I will need a redo.
Let's try something here. Why doesn't Zach go first? He always goes last before me.
Oh, we're going backwards.
And then he'll set the precedent, and you guys will.
Because his are always.
Okay, I'll redo mine. I was set on mine all day, but I'm down for a redo.
Okay.
I am Nevlin!
I sure did set a precedent. Okay. Hey, my name's Eric, and I play Cornelius Fluffy Bum, a druid Herengon who just fucking wants to just have everything go back to normal.
Hi, I'm Kyle, who plays Darius Adolfo, and he just wants to kind of make his way to safety and maybe take some time to mourn the loss of Gord.
Oh my god. Hey, I'm Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a turtle monk, and he doesn't really know what he wants. He's a little bit sad, he's a little bit confused, and he's pretty hungry.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great. Told you this last week. I'll tell it to you next week, next 2 weeks. However many there may be between episodes, I don't know, I just record the things.
This is why Zach goes last.
So good. And I am Tyrone. I will be your dangerous dungeon master, and I'm quitting smoking, so...
Yeah, the cough sounded pretty
please,
dangerous.
Please excuse the hoarseness in my throat.
I'm also getting over a cold, so there's that.
I just worked a 10-hour shift.
I just relaxed all day.
Yeah.
You know, this is great. This is great. We got a mixed pile here, and we're gonna progress. So, you guys traveled about a day and a half from Gnagthrok and made your way into Reaper's Pass, probably against some better judgment. But you are now in the thick of the middle of the caverns of the Faedark. And as you progressed further, you found a safe spot in a low kind of canyon.
In a wooded glen.
No, it wasn't wooded, but it was definitely a little glowy, but seemed to be safe enough for you guys to have a rest. So you stopped and took a rest there. Without incident, you guys continued on 8 hours, whatever, later. You can't really tell if it's day or night anymore. There is no such thing down here. And you came across the ruin that the shaman had mentioned the day before upon your escape of Gnagthrok. And as you got closer, you all realized that Nevlin was glowing. So you are now...
Is it like a blue glow? A green glow?
It's like a light glow. It's like yellow and white.
Like the obnoxious high beams or the nice high beams?
The old school nice high beams.
Great, okay. I like that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, unlike today's douche beams.
Yes.
Yes, the douche beams.
Yeah. Yeah. Nevlin, you're...
As Nevlin glows brightly and curiously, you hear the sound of an iron door open from inside the ruin. A small voice shouts from inside the walls and says,
"Don't move, Nevlin Thrice Great. If that even is your real name, I finally got you."
In a moment of confusion, two mages in black robes with white insignias on the hood advance forward through the hole in the wall, followed by three members of the Shadar Kai, the small-voiced man carrying a magical glowing rod pointed directly at Nevlin. Everything turns quiet. Time seems to slow down when Nevlin whispers, "Ren." And with the flick of the rod, Nevlin's arms and legs shoot out, fully outstretched, as he is levitated into the air, fully paralyzed.
And I need you all to roll initiative.
That's how it's gonna be.
Oh no.
Are you guys from the Lollipop Guild?
What's your dex, Cornelius?
One.
Me too! Would you like
number
to go first?
Number one.
Or
sure.
Would you like, yeah? Okay.
Cornelius got a 19.
Dario got a 5.
Torque got a 19 as well.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
18 for Nevlin. Not that it does me much good.
So first up is the Shadar Kai fighter. He's going to run straight down towards you, Dario, to the south.
Oh, no.
Out of the ruin. And he is going to multi-attack as he draws his rapier. So first one's a 17 plus 5 for 23 to hit.
That's a major hit.
And the second one's going to be a 10 plus 5 for 15.
That is a major loss.
Oh, major loss indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's going to deal 1d8 plus 3 piercing damage. That's going to be 6 plus 3 for 9 piercing damage as he stabs into you with his rapier.
Got the right between the slats of my armor.
And that's going to be his turn. So it is then the mage's turn. He has the rod pointed at Nevlin. He's clearly concentrating, but he holds up his other arm and you see a icy glyph form in the air while he holds up two fingers and a ray of frost shoots out towards you, Torque.
Oh, really thought he was going to go for Nevlin. Okay, cool.
Ooh, the ray of frost is going to slow you down too if it hits.
Maybe it won't hit.
He rolled a 2, so 8 to hit, which obviously does not. But he tried, and he retains his concentration. It is then going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, I'm here to fuck around and find out. I'm going to bunny hop right over top of Dario, and I'm going to cast fucking Tidal Wave, third level spell, directly at all of the dudes in front of me.
Okay.
Hell yeah, brother.
Holy shit.
Fuck this bullshit. We just lost Gord. I'm not losing Nevlin.
So you want to kind of... brief description of what Tidal Wave does?
All right. I am conjuring up a wave of water that crashes down on an area within range. It can be up to 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, and 10 feet tall. Each creature, the four assholes, in the area need to make a dex save. On a failed save, it's 48 bludgeoning, and they're knocked prone. On a successful, it's half as much, and they're not knocked prone.
Okay.
Then the water spreads out. If there's fire, then that gets rid of that sort of stuff, and maybe it helps the plants grow.
All right, so they will all make that dexterity saving throw then.
That's going to be a DC 15.
Yeah, good luck okay. To the four bad guys.
Okay, the fighter passes.
Passing shit.
The mage fails.
Yeah,
the first,
perfect.
The mage with the rod.
What a loser.
Yeah.
The assassin passes with a nat 20.
Ooh, oh well.
Idiot. Very good swimmer.
The Shadar Kai mage fails. And the other mage with the black cloak with the white insignia.
Oh, there's two mages.
There's three mages. Gets a pass as well. So, oh.
So two fails and two successes?
Two and two, yeah.
Okay, so two of them take 16 and they're prone.
Yep.
And the other two take 8.
The big baddie is prone, and the Shatterkai mage is also prone.
Does he keep concentration?
And yes, I'm going to do that right now.
All right.
I wasn't going to forget about it. That's why that was so hard for
very
me.
Important.
So damage was 16, so it's going to be 10 DC,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
For concentration. So he rolls a 15. God so yeah, damn. He keeps his concentration. Nevlin, you are still suspended
really?
In the air.
Really?
Yeah. So as this water smashes into these guys, you see a bunch of things fly off tables, and the water just kind of like pools into the back of this first room, and then you kind of watch it all kind of pour out off the flat surface back into the ground. It is now very wit in the
very wit room.
Wit. And is that going to be your turn, Cornelius?
Yeah, because I was going to do something cool, but then I realized that my rabbit hop was my bonus action, so never mind.
Okay, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, so who's the motherfucker doing the thing to Nevlin? Is it this guy in the front?
Yeah, he's the right in front guy.
The right in front guy. Okay.
Closest to the exit of the building.
He's my least favorite. So Torque is going to, I want to say hop past Cornelius, but that's your thing. He's gonna
turtle
pass. I don't know what a turtle verb is.
Turtle slide.
He's gonna
turtle roll.
He's gonna tort past.
He's gonna Naruto.
Yeah, he's totally gonna Naruto past Cornelius, and he's going to barrel towards this mage who's trying to do the shitty thing to Nevlin.
Okay.
So he's going to end up straight in front of this dick bag, and Torque's going to take out his quarterstaff, because he's never done that, and like, you know, big change of events just happened. Torque's becoming a little bit of a, I was going to say a new man, but he wasn't really even a man to begin with. He's, you know, the change is happening from boy to man. So he's got a little bit of a new weapon to use, so he's going to try out his quarterstaff.
All right, so roll the hit.
Uh-oh.
Do it, Mr. Tortorini.
Ooh, Mr. I like that, Dario.
Mr. T.
Mr. T. Oh, no.
I pity the fool.
That's probably copyright, isn't it? But I really want that to be Torque's.
I feel like Mr. T would be stoked on it.
Can someone please gift Torque a really thick chain to wear at some point? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Aldous right now.
It's going
to
happen. Actually,
I'm gonna buy all this chain up.
Okay, so Torque rolled a 17.
That sounds like a hit.
Could be.
We'll never know.
That is a hit.
Okay, amazing. I literally only brought my d20 to Victoria because for whatever reason, the other dice would have weighed my bag down. So I'm gonna keep roll this. The damage in the computer.
Yeah, welcome to the fairies. How many dice do you have on with you?
Yeah.
No, you're only allowed to carry one, ma'am.
It wouldn't go through.
You can carry more if they're smaller sums. It. Like, you can have two D10s. Right. You can have a D12 and a D8.
So this is a chosen monk weapon, correct? Is this one of your monk weapons?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Okay.
There's like some of the grip tape on it and stuff as well that monks love. So
it's hockey tape. Let's not kid ourselves.
It's just hockey tape.
It's just hockey tape.
It's actually a hockey stick that he just chopped the blade off of.
It's just a kendo stick with hockey tape on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you pick that up at Evernight Tire.
Faerunian Tire.
Yes, yeah. Faerunian Tire with the.
Oh, that's a good one. Why didn't I
with
ever
the
think
Faerunian Tire money?
Yeah, as good as Gnome Depot.
Gnome Depot.
Yeah, that's been done though.
I know. Gnome Depot.
But it's still so good though.
Oh my god.
Gnome Hardware.
Oh no, Gnome Depot for sure. Okay, so Torque rolled a 9 damage with his quarterstaff.
Yeah, you smack him hard. You have a vision of Ganji smacking you, and you unleash a fury of the same magnitude onto the head of this mage.
Yeah.
Small, supple head.
I feel like maybe it's more of a like a whap. But
you smack him for 9 damage.
Okay, amazing.
I'm just going to roll concentration for him, see if he keeps his concentration.
Yeah, great.
And he rolls a 10 plus 0 for 10.
So he makes it?
So that is a pass.
Okay, great. Yeah, well,
it's just a pass.
Torque's going to use his extra attack to attack him again.
Okay. Go ahead and roll the attack.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to roll up my sleeves for this one, boys. With my one dice I brought. And that'll be a 12.
That actually does hit.
No way, really?
Yeah, he doesn't have mage armor on right now.
That's too funny. Amazing. Well, he's going to thwap him with his quarterstaff again, and that's going to be 8 damage again with his quarterstaff.
Okay, yeah, you thwap him again.
Amazing.
He'll roll for his concentration. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That time you got a 12 plus 0 for 12, so you're good.
He's good. I'm not good. I'm
Oh, wait,
annoyed.
It's constitution, right, Kyle?
It is.
Okay, edit that out. We show no weakness.
We're perfect.
We're professional. We're perfect.
Okay, so Twerk is going to try one last time to get him with his turtle claws to break his freaking concentration.
Okay.
It's going to be another 17 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay, so he's going to make this man bleed. He will draw blood. Oh my gosh, okay.
Moderate blood.
Yeah, so it'll be 8 blood damage.
Okay, so he takes the hit as he yells out in pain as he slashes into his arm, dealing 8 damage.
He just made some hardcore nerds.
He rolls an
angry.
18,
oh
so he keeps
gosh.
His concentration again.
What a nerd.
Yeah, I suspect.
You fucking nerd.
I'm very disappointed.
Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, Torque's just going to stay right in his face.
Okay, Nevlin, it is your turn. Unfortunately, you cannot move.
I really tried.
You are paralyzed fully, suspended 10 feet in the air.
Well, I am going to remain here for my turn.
Okay. Weird, I didn't think you'd do that.
All right, then it is going to be the assassin's turn, and the assassin is going to run down beside you and then in behind you, Torque.
Great. I welcome it. Actually, he does that. He does the Matrix thing where he like puts out his hand and he like, you know, he's like, come on. Like,
from behind?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's very lacking. His intelligence is no longer plus one. It's minus 4 as he neos you or Morpheuses you from behind and then realizes shortly thereafter that you're not looking at him and he slowly lowers his hand then goes into attack at advantage.
It's very awkward.
Which means he does get his sneak attack.
Uh-oh.
Great.
Most awkward.
So he rolls a 13 plus 6 for 19 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, then he is going to deal 1d6 plus 3 plus 46.
Stupid 9-year-old boy ego staying there.
Oh, you're lucky. Daddy's got bad luck today.
Great.
Ew, Dungeon Daddy.
Ew.
8 and 5 is 13 plus 3 will be 16 slashing damage.
That's it?
Yes. He gets a multi-attack. And he rolled a nat 20 on his second attack at advantage. Yeah, so you're going to just take
1d6
plus 3, so
cockiness.
9 plus 2 is 11 plus 3 is going to be 14 more slashing damage from his short sword.
14? That still leaves me with 8 whole
enough
hit
to take
points.
A potion.
And maybe sneak into my turtle shell. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you can do that.
I know, he hasn't done it yet.
All right, okay. And then next up is going to be the Shadarkai mage, who is prone. He will stand to his feet, relinquish his pride, and you see him put two hands forward in front of him, crossing one over the other as he slices through the air, and you see this brown glyph form in the air as a sheen of dark gray surrounds his body as he casts mage armor on himself. And he is going to move back 10 feet further back into the room. That's going to be his turn. It is then going to be Spud. And Spud immediately, as a bonus action, places his two swords together in a similar manner
yes,
in front of him. He pulls his swords apart, unleashing a fury of sparks. Jarlin pops in out of nowhere. And yeah. He looks at Jarlin and he's like, let's do this! And he's going to run forward and get around the other side of the Shatterkai fighter that is currently engaged with you, Dario. So he's closer to the inside of the ruin now. Sick. And at advantage, he is going to attack with both of his short swords. And flying colors, the 17 plus 7 for 24. Yeah. And then the second one is a 15 plus 7 for 22. So both hits on the fighter. He is then going to take 2d6 plus 8 damage. That's 11 plus 8 for 19 damage to the fighter as he slashes into him with his left-hand sword and then his right hand to follow. Fighting with myself is so ridiculous.
Not nearly as fun as playing with yourself.
They're like, oh, I hate do all I the math. And then...
Forget.
That was good. Today okay, and then he's weird. Also going to make his extra attack now as he rolls a nat 1. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I forgot who was rolling.
And as he goes in for his last attack, he slips, banana slips, on his own fungi mucus.
Ew.
And hits the ground with a splash.
Does he have like a weird fungusy slug trail?
I think
does this look like something a sponge would do?
I think that he does.
Like a little
snail trail?
Yeah, a little bit of one, I think.
That's so
but
gross.
That's going to be his turn. So it's then going to be Jarlin's turn. She is going to run directly up next to the fighter, who is now completely surrounded by the party. And she is going to make an attack, a bite attack, at advantage. And she rolls a 9. So that's going to be a 15 to hit on the fighter, which is a fucking hit. So the fighter is going to take 1d6 plus 3 damage. And 5 plus 3 for 8 damage. As she chomps into this fight, and he screams out in pain. Then it is going to be the mage's turn, and he, as a bonus action, you see him just disappear from behind that mage, and he reappears 20 feet from the ruin, off to the western side, and he crosses his fingers in front of himself. You see that bright brown glyph appear in the air as the dark gray covers his body as he casts mage armor on as well. And that's going to be his turn. It is then going to be Dario's turn.
All right. Well, I use one of my domain spells, Vampiric Touch, as I look to this warrior who's right in front of me. I'm like, you don't get to make me bleed my own blood. And I grab him and I try and siphon the life out of him.
Okay.
And so I roll a spell range touch attack, which is 19.
Yeah, that's totally a hit.
Then I do 3d6 necrotic damage, half of which will translate to life healing force for me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, those are 6 and 6, which is 12. I get 6. He takes 12 necrotic damage.
12 necrotic damage to the fighter. Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he sucked that life out of him, and he does not look well. He, in fact, looks very pale. And see the life that has drained from his body has left its mark.
Yes, your life force will give me sustenance, you evil Shatterkai.
Is that going to be your turn?
Yes.
Then it is going to be the top of the round. It's going to be the Shatterkai fighter, who does not have a lot of options. But since the most recent attack was from Jarlin, he's going to attack Jarlin. And he misses horribly.
Great.
And with that, he's going to disengage from Cornelius and Dario. Gets a step closer to the rune. And that's going to be his turn. It is then going to be the mage with the rod, who's still pointing at Nevlin. This time, he raises his other hand. He carves an insignia into the air, and this brown rune starts shining. The grayness envelops his body as he casts mage armor on himself.
Fuck.
That's going to be his turn. It's going to be Cornelius' turn next.
All right, Cornelius is going to move up next to Torque, closer to the mage with the rod.
Yep.
For his action, he's going to, all of a sudden, some fire starts appearing, and you guys hear... and little Goldblum appears right beside the mage with the rod.
I would recognize that sound anywhere. Gosh.
All right.
That's so good.
That's great.
You know that Jeff Goldblum was in another D&D podcast, right?
So?
That we are the competition.
So?
And Jeff cool. Goldblum will get his money back.
That's right. Well, I'll give him $5 for that. You hear Goldblum. That, Jeff?
$5.
Okay.
So the mage is going to have to make a dex save. That's going to be 15 DC.
Let's fail.
Okay, 2d6 fire damage. That'll be 8 fire damage.
Okay.
And then for my bonus action, I will get Goldbloom to use Fiery Teleportation, and we'll take the two of us, just the two of us. Actually, Torque, are you willing?
Can you just let me roll this concentration check before I forget? Oh, yeah. 15. He's good.
God fucking damn it.
Torque, are you willing?
What am I willing to do?
To get out of here.
Well, I suppose so. I really want to murder this guy, but I let's go, I guess.
Okay, so the three of us are going to move 15 feet away, and Buddy's going to have to do another dex save.
Okay. He rolls a 1.
So he's going to take 1d6 plus my proficiency, which is 3. Oh, I rolled a 1. Lovely. So 4 fire damage.
Okay.
And then Torque, if you want to move there. And that is my turn.
Okay, yeah. You summon your Goldbloom, and flames rip through this mage as he screams. And as you place your arm on Torque and teleport away with Goldbloom, the flames the resistance flames completely just batter him again as he screams once more. After the teleportation flames smash through his body, he finally loses concentration. He drops his arm to the ground.
Take that, you nerdy little bitch.
Nevlin, you, on the other hand, drop 10 feet to the ground. You're going to take 1d6 falling damage. So you'll take 4 bludgeoning falling damage.
All right.
You are now no longer paralyzed.
Cool.
Cornelius, that's your turn.
That is my turn.
It is then going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, bitchin'. So Torque feels a little bit emotionally refreshed after being whisked away out of the threat zone of this nerdy rod mage. that's so strange. So he feels emotionally refreshed, and he's just actually going to kind of move back towards him, and he is quite upset. He was thinking about, like, Nevlin potentially dying, and it's just, you know, PTSD. So he goes back in towards this mage, and he strikes at him again with his quarterstaff.
Okay, roll the hit.
That'll be a 27.
Holy shit, yeah.
And so that'll be 1d6 plus 5. So that'll be 10 damage with the quarterstaff.
So you run into this room after this dude has fallen and dropped his arm, lost his concentration, been completely scorched, and you lift your quarterstaff over your head and come down with the full force of your weight onto his skull, and you watch his skull just split. It fractures and splits in half.
Really?
The brains gush out like...
All over my quarterstaff?
2 feet in like from his head.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah! Torque's a man now!
And hell yeah, brother!
He's dead. Just keep in mind and remember, this guy's a mage. He's not like a...
He's a nerd!
Like, he gets 1d4 hit points plus con every level.
Right.
So he doesn't have very many hit points.
It's a nerdy rod mage, got it.
It's the plus side to fighting mages. It's my fault that he didn't have mage armor on in the first round.
Right. But oh, whatever. Yeah, it was the other guy that had mage armor, right.
Big brains have... cushy exteriors.
Yes. And then we've been over this before, but I don't have, with my extra attacks, it doesn't have to be on the same guy.
Nope, you can make it on another.
So then, having literally split the skull of this one nerdy rod mage, so Torque's gonna shift his focus down to the assassin. So he is gonna move south towards the assassin, and the assassin is now flanked by Spud and Torque, new besties potentially, and he's going to attack with his quarterstaff again with his extra attack.
Okay, go ahead, roll the hit.
That's gonna be a dirt twunt.
Dirt twunt.
Dirt twunt.
That's a hit. Roll damage.
Okay.
Nice.
You get to see the damage before I do because my computer's so slow. great, so that'll be 10 more damage with the quarterstaff.
All right, yeah, you smack into him with the blood of his brethren. Yeah.
I hope you get blood poisoning. And then he's gonna slash out with his turtle claws.
Okay, go ahead and roll the hit.
And I will. I'll roll it at advantage this time.
Yep, nope, absolutely.
Okay, so that first one's a 21.
Yep.
And then even higher, 24.
Yep, roll damage.
Oh. Okay, so that'll be 7 damage.
Yeah, you then slash into him across his chest. You see the blood start to pool out as he yells very loudly.
Ouchie!
Oh, jeez.
Somebody said cheese?
Is that going to be your turn?
Yes, that's going to be my turn.
From the ground, Nevlin, it is going to be your turn. You are prone. Sorry, I should have mentioned that before.
Yeah, Nevlin, he stands up and he dusts himself off and he's looking around, just kind of coming to. What is the scene in front of him? There's three enemies left?
There are four enemies left. There's Spud and Torque, Charlene and Dario are facing off with an assassin and a fighter of the Shatter Kai. There's a Shatter Kai mage up in this room that's in the ruin that's covered in water. And then off to the left, you see Cornelius and the fire spirit Goldbloom and another mage that you would know as a mage of the Circle of Magi that is up off to the northwest.
All right. Nevlin stands up and he kind of cracks his neck and he cracks his knuckles. He looks around himself, takes note of everyone around him, and he starts walking forwards. And he says,
all right, now you're gone and pissed me off. I am Nevlin Thrice Great, consular of your grandfathers, and your great-grandfathers, consulars, consular. And he fires off a magic missile at the assassin as he continues to move forward. And you've cost me all my patience. I call upon all the forces of darkness. And he launches another magic missile at the Shatter Kai beside Bud.
Okay.
All winds of all abysses, all howling monstrosities. And he launches one at the Circle of Magi mage. All lords of the underworld, black and gray and white, I call upon ye forces of darkness. And launches another one at the last mage. I call upon ye to do my bidding now. And launches a fucking fifth one back at the assassin.
Damn.
Okay.
So he's cast Magic Missile as a third level spell.
Dope.
Which gave him 5 bolts.
Awesome. Okay, so roll damage for all those, respectively.
I'll start with the assassin.
Okay.
8 damage to the assassin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he screams out.
The Shatter Kai beside Spud. Fighter takes 5 damage.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, as this bolt hits him, his chest explode open. The impact goes through the skin, breaks his rib cage, and directly penetrates his heart and his lungs as he drops to the ground, looking at his exposed chest as he fades into the ethers.
What kind of damage is a magic missile again?
1d4 force. Plus 1.
It's force damage?
It's force damage, yeah. Yeah.
Gut explosion.
That's so it wouldn't cauterize the wound. It would be a gory
Spud is covered
it's
in blood.
It's really moist.
And gore and bits of lung and heart.
Yeah.
And
ooh, very moist. Spongy and moist.
Very moist gore.
5 damage to my dark brother in the Circle of Magi.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
And
okay, as he screams out in pain as the bolt hits him. And for the last?
Last remaining wizard, 4 damage.
Damn.
And the Shatter Kai mage in the ruin screams out in excruciating pain and is bleeding profusely from that hit. You can see the bruises around his arm and shoulder as he begins to likely bleed out. He's still standing.
Nevlin ceases moving forward, pretty much in melee range with the assassin.
Okay, and that's going to be your turn?
That's it.
Okay, the assassin then looks to you, Nevlin, and he is going to multi-attack.
Bring it on.
So the first one's going to be 12 plus 6 for 18 to hit.
That's a hit.
And the second one's going to be a fucking miss. On that hit, you are going to take 1d6 plus 3, and I need you to make me a constitution saving throw, please.
So dirty 20 for the constitution?
Yeah, you pass with flying colors. He slashes into you, and you take only 8 slashing damage.
Okay.
He's going to move up, which will provoke an opportunity attack to you, Nevlin, so you can roll that.
Oh, I don't think I've ever hit someone with my quarterstaff before.
Me neither. It's a day for us. This is quarterstaff day for sure.
It's the quarterstaff
episode.
That's yeah.
Fucking 17, boys.
Yeah.
Yes. That does. Yeah,
we
that
both
hits,
became
sure.
men today.
I get to look up the damage of a quarterstaff. Oh no, I only have a dagger. I don't even own a quarterstaff.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That's even better.
Daggers are.
Cut him.
Yeah.
Nevlin, fourth great.
Oh, yeah, I'm not very strong. It's 1d4 minus 1 damage.
So you could potentially do 0 damage?
Yeah. Potentially.
That's awesome.
Ooh, max 3 damage.
Every bit counts.
All right, yeah, so he takes this dagger slash as he rips past you and then disengages from Spud and Torque and continues to move back another 10 feet or so away from the carnage that is about to ensue. And that's going to be his turn. It is then going to be the Shatterkai Mage's turn. And the Shatterkai Mage, you see him pull out a bottle and he drinks a potion. He drinks it back, and then he throws it on the ground like he just drank a tiny bottle of scotch, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets 7 hit points back, and that's going to be his turn. Then it is going to be Spud's turn, and Spud's going to stand up.
Oh, yeah, he slipped on his snail trail.
Yeah.
I forgot.
And then he's going to move, like, directly towards this large table in this room and just diagonally down from the assassin, and he's going to attack twice. With his short sword. And that's gonna be a 19 plus 7 for a hit, and a 10 plus 7 for 17 for a hit, as well as this dude's gonna take 2d6 plus 8 slashing damage from Spud. That's gonna be 9, so that's gonna be 17 slashing damage to the assassin. As he does scream, the life force that's been drained from him by Dario, his skin was already pale, but now as he cuts this new wound into him on these two strikes, you just see all of the color drain from his face as he's bleeding profusely out of his chest. And then Spud's gonna make his extra attack. And that's gonna be a 9 plus 7, which is a fucking 16 for a hit. And he's gonna take another 1d6 plus 3 damage. That's gonna be 7 damage to the assassin, who then Spud just straight out slashes at his neck, and you guys see the neck just open wide, and the last of the blood that was in this Shatterkai assassin's body just drains out of his neck as he drops to the ground on his knees and then falls to his face dead.
Yes!
It is then going to be the Circle of Magi Mage's turn, and he looks over to you, Cornelius, and he raises both of his hands, one with his staff, into the sky, and you see a fireball start to form on the tip of his staff as he moves back well away from you.
What?
And casts Fireball.
Fuck.
I'm not too concerned.
I'm sick of these losers.
Losers in the fireball.
Yeah. I mean, I love it when Cornelius does a fireball, but like, why don't they use a sword or something, you know? Like, grow a pair. No offense.
Yeah, get
it's
in
okay
it.
My thoughts you, exactly. It's okay when you guys do magic, but no one else. I'm gonna shame everyone else.
So I need you.
Oh shit.
Goldbloom.
Goldbloom's immune to fire.
Right, okay, so I need you and Torque and Nevlin to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Okay.
It's a 5 for Nevlin.
Okay, so that's a natural 20 plus 1.
Nice, dude.
Torque rolled a 17.
Okay, so Nevlin, you fail. Torque and Cornelius, you pass with flying colors. Nevlin, you're going to take 8d6 fire damage. You, the rest of y'all are going to take half. Nevlin, you'll take 21 damage. The rest of y'all take 10.
Would you consider a fireball a missile?
No.
Damn it.
More of a ball.
Fire missile? I just can't wait to use deflect missiles.
Oh, Nevlin ain't looking hot.
Did you bite the dust?
Not quite.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's his turn.
Oh, no, wait a second. That was... We took 10 damage?
Yeah, you took 10 damage.
Oh, Torque's down.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no!
Oh, Torque is so down.
All right,
down.
So yeah, the fire just rages through all of you, and you see Torque drop to the ground unconscious, and that is going to be the mage's turn. I did forget that Jarlin was supposed to go, so Jarlin dashed just right up to the mage inside the ruin, and it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, Dario was looking for the mage further into the ruin, but he sees Torque go down, and the red hue of his vampiric touch disappears as he's like, no. He runs over to Torque, and he's all like, come on, Torque, we have to do this. Get up. Get up in the name of Mercure. And I cast a level 3 healing spell on you, for which you will get maxed out potential on that. So 8, 8, 8 is 24 plus.
Oh my gosh.
3, 3, and 3
plus 9, so
33. Yeah, so I heal you for 33 hit points.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, with shit. The invigorating force of Mercule behind his healing powers, he gives you maxed out potential on that from your potential demise.
Oh my gosh. Well, Torque awakens and he looks at you and he's like, Dario, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. We gotta fight these guys.
Yes, yes, correct. Get up. Get up, Torque. You can do it.
I'm doing it.
With all the vigor and vim and excitement of your new manliness.
And 6 seconds has ended.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Is that going to be your turn, Dario?
That'll be my turn.
All right, then it's going to be top of the round. It's going to be Corny's turn.
Cornelius is going to... He's had enough of this fucking piece of shit mage. He's going to cast Scorching Ray at third level.
Wow.
And he's going to send four... He's going to return the flavor.
Okay.
And he's gonna, yeah, and he's gonna fucking.
Okay, so all of these scorching rays are meant to go to the circle of mage, circle of magi mage.
Yeah, all four.
Okay. Circle of magi mage.
I'm gonna roll all four at once with these four amazing d20s.
Four Vormorian warriors.
Okay, so that's a. We've got a 10, we've got a 14, we've got a 16, and a 23.
Okay, all of those hit except for the 10.
Okay, first hit, 6. Second hit, 4, so 10. Next one, 9, so 19 damage.
So you... He explodes. All of these scorching rays join together into one massive scorching ray. Just as big as that fireball before the explosion, and it just kind of goes into him, and you just see like the guts and the blood just explode out and then singe as they cauterize in the air and drop to the ground.
I look back at Nevlin and I say, that's 15! And then, as my bonus action, I am going to get Goldbloom to teleport us.
Like, you just don't even walk anymore.
No, just 15 feet closer.
Also, when are you going to use your goat?
You have a goat?
You need to send me the stats for that.
Be a surprise.
Oh, it's just a giant goat. It's a large goat.
Didn't it have 3 heads or something?
It does have 3 heads.
And it is the greatest of all time.
It's Pater, isn't it?
It is Pater.
Oh, right. That's right. Okay. Now.
Anyway, you teleport with Jeff Goldblum?
Yes, 15 feet, and that is my turn.
All right, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
If I am literally reading the room correctly, there's only one idiot left.
Yeah, there is a Shatterkai mage.
Okay, just to update all the listeners, all our thousands of listeners out there.
Yeah.
They're all wondering. Well, he's a little bit far away, so... Torque uses half his movement to stand up.
Yep.
And then he's got 20 feet left over. So he'll head north towards this last idiot.
Yep.
I suppose to make it worth it, he'll just drop his quarterstaff and pull out his crossbow.
Yep.
Might as well. There's just the one idiot left. And yep. He's going to take a shot at him with his crossbow.
Okay. Go ahead and roll the hit.
And that's going to be a 17, please.
That is a hit, so roll damage.
Thank you. Please stand by. This is so anticlimactic. So that will be 10 damage, please.
Whew. Okay, so the bolt...
Do I smell some murder?
No, not quite.
Damn it!
But you do see the bolt go right through his neck, and he's like, does Ooh. That like... as it passes right through his neck and starts...
He does that thing that people do when they things go through their neck.
Yeah, and there's just like that stream of blood that starts squirting out as he like holds his hand over his neck.
Yeah.
Now he looks kind of scared. Like he might die soon.
Yeah, I'm picking up those vibes too. Okay. Yeah, so Torque will use his extra attack. He'll try again.
Okay, go ahead and roll the hit.
Man, I think that's the 4th 9 I've rolled, so it's 17 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay, let's go for the jugular again. Damn it. So that'll be 7 damage.
Yeah, you shoot him right in the dick. Yeah, it goes like kind of through his tunic, and you can see that like he looks down at his dick. And it has
a
bolt through it. You see, like, his tunic just starts to get really red around there. As the blood starts to flow out, he drops down to his knees and then kind of leans back and then falls over backwards while the blood's squirting out of his neck, and he dies.
Yes! Amazing.
And you guys have cleared the heavy mage battle.
Torque, do you honestly have to shoot people in the dick?
I didn't really mean to. I was going for his jugular, but I forgot where the jugular is.
That is not...
And Goldblum leaves the room.
Goldblum out.
Why does he always have to laugh?
All right, so what do you guys do here?
Nevlin, are you okay?
Yeah, what the fuck? You're glowing and these dudes.
Who are you guys?
Are you guys all, you guys are all pretty much in the ruin now, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you look to the ruins, the corner of the building is missing and opens up into a large laboratory of sorts. The sides seem to have been sliced cleanly somehow with no debris in sight.
So the chunk of wall that's missing has been sliced clearly.
Arcane symbols cover the walls above the desks, tables, and shelves that line them, with one large workbench in the center of the room. The desks lining the walls are immaculate, whereas the workbench in the center seems disorganized and well-used, with strange alchemical instruments placed throughout the mess.
The room is dimly lit, but there are unlit lanterns hanging on the walls. So, what do you guys do from this point forward? Also, there is a door in the northeast, like on the north wall.
We search the bodies!
You guys search the bodies?
Yeah, Nevlin's definitely taking a look at that.
It's the first time I've ever said that.
At the sorcerer that was holding him with the rod, or the mage.
Okay, so you guys search the bodies, and you find a pouch of 300 gold pieces.
Ooh.
You find two greater healing potions, a cloak of protection,
ooh,
which was on the mage with the rod, as was the gold. And Nevlin, you pull this rod off the ground, and you look at this rod, and you've seen this rod before. You've seen this rod, and you know this rod well. This rod is called
Caitlin.
Crucifix. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was like literally, I was using my imagination way too much as you were describing.
This rod is called Crucifix, Retrobit of Enigmatic Arcane Paralysis.
Does he have to double fist it?
No, he can use one fist. He's gentle with it. So yeah, you do know what this rod is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you would already know what it does, and I don't think you'll need to cast Identify on it, because
this is
something you've seen in your past.
It's not my first
this rod
moment.
Has three charges and can paralyze and levitate a member of the Circle of Magi or the Shadar Kai up to 10 feet in the air as a bonus action. Charge resets dawn each day, also requires concentration. The paralysis and levitation lasts up to a minute, and it has a range of 90 feet.
Well, I'm taking this fucking rod.
You won't hear any complaining from me. More important, though, Nevlin, you need some healing. You're not looking so hot. Or, well, a little too hot.
Yeah, you look a little singed.
Yeah, I'm a little boinked up. We found some potions here, but I don't know. Do we want to save them or what?
Guzzle one.
Yeah, I think you should guzzle a couple.
Nevlin will drink two greater healing potions. He has one on him, so it'll only take one out of what we just found.
Okay, go ahead and roll that up. And then as you guys are searching the bodies, roll me a perception check, everyone.
Perception?
I rolled a 7.
15.
Okay.
Natty one, Nevlin's busy drinking potions.
Yeah.
My 7 became a 13.
Okay.
5.
Okay, so Cornelius, you notice as everyone's searching the bodies and Nevlin's scoping out the rogue down in some potions, that there is a letter open upon one of the tables.
Everyone, there seems to be a letter that's open on one of the tables.
Can you read it? We're busy.
Yes, I know how to read. I was educated by mom and dad.
So you pick it up and you read it, and it says, "Dear Magister Kingston, you have let me down for the last time. I have been patient with the Circle of Magi, but again, you fail me. Your margin for error has nearly diminished. If you do not make advancements with the samples I've sent you, I will be forced to send my brother to oversee your methods and progress. This is your last warning, and it is signed with an S, a large S.
Seraphim.
Probably Seraphim.
Yes, this must be Seraphim's work.
Oh boy, that sounds pretty mean.
I grab it, the letter, and I fold it up and I pass it to Nevlin. I say, here, you hold on to this.
All right, Nevlin tucks it in his pouch.
It might be really useful to have her handwriting. Maybe we can use this in forgery somehow.
Ooh, that sounds like a good idea.
Good luck on those checks.
as we're looking around,
actually, Dario, though, take an inspiration point.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, take an inspiration point. That was badass thinking.
Yeah. We get to use this.
So what
somehow.
What do you think there, Nevlin?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what this place is for. Ty, do we see or can I roll a perception check? Kind of see like what this place is all about and see if I know anything? Because Magister sounds awfully a lot like perhaps a Circle of Magi title. Do I know this guy at all? I just totally did two things. I was about to search the room, and then I was like, wait, maybe I fucking know this guy.
So after you read this, Nevlin, you know this name very, very, very well. In fact, Magister Kingston, for all of you that don't know,
me too.
Me. You were an apprentice of Magister Kingston in the Circle of Magi.
Mm-hmm.
He was his mentor.
Yes.
Right?
Magister Kingston was your mentor.
I really had to think about that.
Yeah, so Nevlin listens to you read out the letter, and he's like, Kingston. Magister Kingston?
Kingston. That's what it says here. K-I...
Well, he must have been through here then.
Are you going to the ruins today?
But if Kingston was through this way, it wasn't that long ago. And Nevlin... starts beelining it towards the back door, and he's like, well, Kingston would've... And he's just kind of like, Kingston would've had his... And he opens the back door.
Wait, Nevlin, hang on a second.
I'll follow.
Yeah, so you open the door, Nevlin.
Mm-hmm.
Nevlin, we have to be careful. We don't know what lies beyond in this weird laboratory of sorts. Laboratory.
As you walk into this large room, you immediately notice the bookshelves lining the walls, all leading to a cold hearth with unlit lanterns in between them. In one corner of the room near the hearth, a lounge chair rests next to a side table, and in the other, a table and chairs, a small cooking fire, and a prep table with rotten vegetables atop.
On the northern side of the room, on the right, there is another door.
Nevlin, he's starting to get pretty frantic. He's like looking around. He's pulling random books on the shelves. As he's sort of blistering through, like on his way to the next door, he's still kind of looking around, searching, pulling on fucking candlesticks and like doing kind of all kinds of weird shit. He gets a 16 to search this room, but he's also kind of like muttering to himself and like looking in corners, and like he picks up like a cup and looks underneath it, like keeps moving around.
Okay, so
is everything okay, dude?
You gotta...
Nevlin, what are you looking for? Maybe we can help you look.
You honestly need to slow down. You don't know what could happen if you do the wrong thing.
Torque just starts picking up everything also.
Okay, so will Torque roll me an investigation check?
Okay.
Nevlin, you got a 16, you said?
Yeah.
Now you're just mirroring him.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm looking for, but I just want to keep busy. I rolled an 8, so I don't help
so
at all.
So Torque's just running around, picking up all the useless shit.
I'm going to go listen at the door.
Yeah, you go
big old rabbit ear.
Go up to the door, and Nevlin walks by you, and he's like, that door's trapped. And as he continues to run through, Nevlin, you find a scroll of fine traps.
Hey.
You also find a book. You pull on one of them, and it reveals a secret compartment in the bottom of the shelf that reveals a satchel with a black pearl, which is 1,000 gold pieces worth.
It's an old wooden ship.
And two white pearls, which are 50 gold pieces each. And that is what you find in this room.
Whoa.
Satchel, black pearl.
We are blingin'.
We made a lot of money with these murders.
Nevlin, he kind of reached through that. He, like, looks at the scroll sort of keenly and sticks in his pocket. And he just leaves the valuables there. And he kind of turns around. And he's like, all right, guys. Yeah, listen. Gather round.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
This Kingston fella, I used to sort of study under him. Listen, I can explain all this at some point, but shit sort of broke bad where I was. Kingston got out before me. If Kingston was around here, he would have been keeping his secrets well hidden. There's a very good chance that there's information here that Seraphim may or may not yet have.
Well, fuck, let's search the shit out of this place.
But let's go slow.
Yeah, okay, okay. And Nevlin starts taking a couple breaths, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just, I'm a heel. Fuck, there's a lot going on, and there's a fucking,
man,
there's a lot going on, and fucking
God,
and fucking God is dead, and then these fuckers come back here, and I haven't seen them since fucking Faerun, and fucking God, and Nevlin just kind of sits down in the corner, and he starts sobbing into his robes.
Aww. Tork goes and sits next to him and cries a little bit. Also.
Like we've all been through quite a lot, and we haven't really had time to grieve and mourn.
My master, Jakku, he would tell me that it's very important that you process all your trauma so that it you don't suppress it and it creeps up on you one day and it just comes right out and it kicks you in the ass.
I just put it all right down in the bottom there. Okay, boys, listen up. Here's what we gotta do. And Nevlin gets back up.
That's the opposite of what I was saying you should do.
I was gonna say, that's my mom used to say something the same as Tork there, and Tork's Jakku.
Hey, I just needed a moment to squeeze it down, all right? Now listen,
tis what she proclaimed.
Let's keep going, but let's keep going carefully. There's something fucked up happening here, but look, I think we gotta make this quick and try to get the fuck out of here and get somewhere safe, because I don't know how they're getting in and out of here. I don't know what made that hole in the wall. I don't know what the hell Kingston was doing here, we gotta figure this out.
Should we be sneaky about it and stuff? Like, do we need to be quiet?
Yes, Tork. You should go first.
Should I just do the thing where we pass without any trace?
Yes. Yes, let's do that.
That's an excellent idea.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna meditate for a second here. And he tries to cross his legs, but he can't because they're too short and fat. And then he spends 2 key points to cast Pass Without Trace.
So yeah, a veil of shadows and silence just like envelops you guys as you all kind of become like a ghostly visage of who you were, and you guys can move around freely without any sort of
trace,
sound, or trace. Yeah, might even say you could pass without a trace.
No one would say that. Okay. Literally, no one would say that.
All right, guys, let's pass without a trace.
Okay, let's pass without a trace.
I'll bring up the rear.
That was a wonderful performance there, Nevlin. I want you to take a point of inspiration.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Especially since you literally inspired people to grieve for the loss of a fallen companion.
Yeah, you made us talk about it.
All right, so how do you guys proceed from here?
With caution. You said so.
So there's just the one new door?
There's the one, one door.
Okay.
If we're going down a hallway, I'll be in behind the group.
And did you say that Nevlin found like a scroll about traps or something?
Found a scroll of find traps, but he also walked by Cornelius and nonchalantly said that the door was trapped.
Right. Do you guys think this might be trapped?
Go, check it, Tork. Go ahead. You don't have to wait on us. Okay. You can
work. I'm gonna search for traps on it,
I guess. You go for it.
I already told you.
Can you disarm it?
Tork is the only one, I think, with thieves' tools.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna give her the old cold try here. Just give me a second.
No, Tork. You're a man now. Don't look into the past. Look into the future.
Okay.
Yes.
He really takes that to heart.
Good.
Tork, is that a mustache I see?
Oh, thanks for noticing.
It's got a little upper lip hair.
I've had a couple on my chin.
Oh.
I've had a couple on my chin for about a week now, but the lip has been slower to come in. Anyway, I just add my proficiency bonus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it'll be a 19.
Okay. You fiddle around with the handle, and you realize that you need to turn this handle. There's a kind of a combination, or these spikes deploy that would pierce your hand. So you kind of like tumble the thieves' tools underneath, and you find the point where the first is in succession, and the second, and then the third, and then you realize you turn the handle twice to the left, once to the right, and as you pull the pin on the last, the spikes fall out of it, and the door clicks open, and you guys can go through.
There we go, I did it perfectly.
Yeah,
that's very well done, Tork.
Thanks, you guys, I appreciate your support. Let's continue passing without any trace.
Coming from the study, you step into a long, narrow passageway. Moss and algae line the walls, and the air is stale and humid. Along the southernmost wall, there are 2 iron doors, and as you wrap around the corner of this wall, you see another iron door about 70 feet down to the south.
Oh, I see. So there's a door, like, straight away.
Yep. There's a door right away, and then there's another one down the way a bit, and then around that corner, as you check around the corner, there's another door down about 70 feet.
Don't go around the corner, just... Oh, shit.
Just looking. Okay, what should we do? Should we check out these first doors, or
there's a lot of doors.
Well, let's not leave anything unchecked behind us in case there are more enemies. So let's just go one by one.
We could split the party.
Let's take a peek. It might be like a big central room, and well, we wouldn't know that.
So you guys are gonna go open the first door?
Yes.
Well. Should we get Talk to take a look at this guy?
Yeah, I can...
I have a feeling this is just a scary place.
You know, it's probably nothing. There was a study done that said that when people go into public bathrooms, everybody always passes the very first stall thinking it'll be the grossest, stinkiest, dirtiest one. But in reality, because everybody passes it, it's actually the cleanest one. So you should always pick the first stall. So this one, there's probably nothing wrong with it, but I'll check anyway.
Tark, you're a wealth of knowledge.
I poop in bushes.
He freely poops.
I'm a free pooper.
I've gone through a very large growth period lately.
Okay.
It's impressive.
Okay, is it perception?
It's an investigation check.
Uh-oh, it doesn't matter. It's a 6.
you look at it and you're like, it's clean. Yeah, there's no trash.
I told you, nobody poops in this room.
Go ahead, open it. Okay. Let's see how clean
it is. Oh, God. Oh, no. Okay, he opens the door.
You go to open it and it's locked.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, well, I'm just going to unlock it real quick.
Sure.
And that'll be a 17 with my...
Yeah, you break one of your lock picks on this door.
Son of a bitch.
What was that?
Oh, pardon me. Well, I mean, I'm a man. Now I can use... I said, son of a bitch. Okay, I actually didn't feel very good saying that. Whoopsie, I broke my lockpick.
Oh, no.
You only have one?
No, there's 5. Remember, we dealt this with before.
I'll just use another one. No problem.
Okay, so how many of those are broken now?
I think it's just the one. Okay. So I've got 3 more.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe I might have 2 more.
That's the second one.
Because that's
snaps.
An 11.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, you can do it, Tark. Here's some guidance.
Thank you.
Ring.
Thank you. So that gives me advantage?
Yeah, it gives you +4.
Or plus
you
four.
Have a
D, okay.
A D4 roll.
Okay. Oh.
Did you really?
I rolled a 6 plus 3, so that's 9.
13.
Yeah, 13 it would be.
Yeah, that's not going to do it. As you snap another lockpick, you got one left.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, let's just move on from this one. It is clearly locked. And if there are other doors that are easier than this one, or maybe we find a key, that might be preferable.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
All right.
Should we try the second door?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Spud, do you have lockpicks by chance?
But I mean, he doesn't really have fingers.
I don't know.
I've never seen him fing.
No, I don't actually. I don't have any lockpicks on me this round.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I could try to attack it, you know, with my swords, but it might take a bit.
No.
Well, maybe it's not even
that.
Locked. Spud, do you want to try opening it?
Is there a keyhole? Can you see through?
There's a keyhole.
Can you see into the room?
I suppose, like, yeah, those old schools, you can
You
see
can
the
in
room.
Cartoons, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. Then I'm going to just misty step into the room.
Oh! Touché! Okay.
Yes? Wait, you can...
I go up to the door.
Go through the keyhole. Oh,
and
my gosh.
I look through the keyhole. What do I see?
You see bookshelves.
We're doing the first door.
Some storage compartments. Storage shelves.
Is there an empty, unoccupied 5-foot square that I could take?
Yeah, right in front of you, there's, like, totally unoccupied space that you can see.
Okay, I look over at Dario and I say, Dario,
yes,
come here.
Okay, yep. But...
All right, I'm gonna get inside this room, and the first thing I'm gonna do is unlock the door and open it. So just be prepared for anything in case there's something in there because I just do not know. And then I disappear.
Gordon!
Oh my god. It's okay, there won't be anything
and then
in there.
I unlock the door.
Cornelius, as you misty step into this room,
storage shelves line the walls of this room with multiple rows placed in the center as well, and a desk directly beside the door. The shelves consist mostly of common magical components.
And you unlock the door?
Yeah.
And the door opens.
Huzzah!
Cornelius.
Torque walks in.
These things are so scary.
See, it's all clean. I told ya.
I appreciate that you got this in here, Cornelius. It's a little scary when you just do things off the cuff, you know? I think I'm
but it paid
to
off.
Understand. It did pay off, but I'm starting to understand what Gord was saying. Oh, It's terrifying.
To be fair, Dario, I saw absolutely nothing on the inside when I looked through. Had I seen anything suspicious, I wouldn't have done it.
Wait, you have dark vision, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
I can only see in dim light.
Torque pulls out Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner, his sword that has the moonlight, and then it lights up. I actually forget how that moonlight works. It's 15-foot radius. Oh, and dim light for an additional 15 feet.
I'm gonna search the desk.
Yeah, I suppose I'll be searching around too.
Cornelius, you search the desk?
Yeah.
On the desk, there are several invoices and inventory documents signed by Magister Kingston, followed by, further down the list, Practicus Leopold is the other name you see more recently on this list.
Mean anything to you, Nevlin?
What's that?
Any of this? These receipts?
I don't know, man. You want to let me read them?
Yeah.
So, Nevlin, you read on this desk there are several invoices and inventory documents signed by Magister Kingston, followed by Practicus Leopold further down this list. So, more recently.
Do I know this name?
Yes. Practicus Leopold, as you know, would have been your rival apprentice under Magister Kingston.
Yeah, fucking Leopold. Cocksucker.
Oh.
This all really hits home for you, doesn't it, Nevlin?
Yeah, listen, Kingston was, story time, boys and girls. Look, Kingston was, he was my mentor in the Circle of the Magi. Leopold, he was sort of my only peer amongst our groups, if you will. He was quite talented, but unfortunately it turned him into a real asshole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So both of these fellas have been in this building at some point. I gotta tell you, I lost contact with my mentor shortly before I myself left Circle due to their obviously increasingly nefarious practices. Now I had my suspicions, but by now it's pretty fucking apparent that the folks that I used to be working with probably been working with Seraphim for a long time, and
That's unfortunate.
And you didn't know that?
Well, I knew they were up to something.
Yeah.
You know, they were, God damn it, they told me so much. You know, they told me I was a man of character, you know. Turns out it was not a man of good character that they were looking for. That stings a little. Anyways, they brought me into this thing, and I didn't know where it was going, but, you know, I knew I had to get out eventually, and... Well, it was with some of the information that I acquired, you know, things fall into your pockets sometimes as I was leaving, that I somehow ended up outside of Faerun and ran into all of yous. As for the rest of it, you know, that's history. I ain't aligned with these folks no more. Never really was, you know. They weren't what I was looking for to begin with.
Yeah, they don't sound like nice people.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about where you're... loyalties are laying there.
Yeah.
I am very surprised, though, that you were very closely, well, I mean by a degree of separation, so closely affiliated with these nefarious people.
Well, he didn't know, Dario. It was an accident.
Yeah, Dario, what about you?
You gotta understand the Circle of Magi is a secret order, you know? You don't, if you get your initiations into higher degrees, you don't really ask questions. You don't really talk back. That's the way that these things work, you know? You kind of absorb the knowledge as you go along, and, I mean, you know, it's kind of part of the whole thing about being a wizard is, you just, you jump into the abyss, and you don't fucking look down, you know?
All right. Well, I mean, you know Kingston on sight. We haven't come across him yet. Yeah, you're gonna have to take the lead on this one just to sort of help guide us through whatever we find or...
Look, I think we gotta find Kingston. I think whatever was going on here has to do with the stones, has to do with everything. Look, let's just continue, okay? Maybe we'll find something else that helps us.
Okay. Can we do, like, a search in and around this whole room and see anything of note?
Absolutely. You guys can roll me an investigation check.
Okay. I got an 18, and that's what I rolled.
Maybe.
Okay.
I take a poop in the corner, I don't know.
Yeah, I watch you take a poop in the corner. And, I rolled a 5.
You guys find 2 potions of healing,
okay,
amongst the shelves, and also a potion of lesser restoration.
Nice. This is making me nervous that you're stocking us up on all these potions of healing. Like, what are we coming up to?
You're in a treacherous fucking crazy place.
Well, as it happens, potions to the rest of you. Whoever got the lesser restoration last time, someone else should get the other one now.
Yeah, I got it last time, so somebody else can have it.
Nevlin, you take this one.
You got it. Yeah, thank you.
Spud, do you have lots of, like, potions and stuff to make sure that you're okay?
I got
okay?
my potion of healing.
Oh, I honestly only keep forgetting about you.
Just one.
I haven't forgotten about you, buddy. Do you think maybe Spud could have one of them?
I'm not the arbiter of who gets what, then I just kind of suggested. But yeah, sure.
We found more than one, though, right?
There was two. I mean, I'll take one.
Okay.
So Spud takes one of the potions of healing and puts it into his rucksack.
If we're, like, maybe done with this room, I kind of maybe made a little bit of a mistake, and we rushed out of that last room after we murdered all those nerds, and I had just left my quarterstaff there, and I don't...
Oh, God, Torque.
So I'm just gonna... It's very emotionally valuable, so I'm just gonna run back and get it really quick, but I'm gonna run without any trace, so it'll be fine.
Go for it, Torque.
Naruto run, go! So he gets it, and without anything bad happening to him at all, he returns. Right?
That's everything, yeah.
Yeah, you get back, no problem. It's only like 100 feet away or whatever.
Exactly.
You get back, no problem.
Great.
And then where are you guys going to go from there?
I guess we leave this room now and we go to the next door.
Ooh, this stall might be dirty.
Oh, wait, it smells Cornelius. Have you been pooping in there?
I've left the room.
I guess somebody did poop in the first.
I see little poop pellets, not naturally occurring and much larger than a rat.
Well, you really took that to heart.
I guess if a heron gone,
they're big.
If a heron gone is human size, it's gonna be like human size rabbit turds.
We're supposed to be passing without any trace.
No, it would just be a larger pile of small nibbles.
Oh, okay.
Small nibbles.
Same size butthole.
Niblets. Sorry.
Please don't call them niblets. They're not niblets.
Just like hundreds of tiny pellets falling out of your bum. Yeah.
Like a goat.
Yeah.
Or a deer.
The anus just opens up.
But they would
the
be.
The poops come out. The anus closes.
But they would
closes.
Be specter poops. They would be specter poops because.
Right now.
You gave little shadow poops.
You could smell it.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't shadow
it's
the
It's a good
smell.
Distraction, actually, for dungeons. I could go poop in a corner and the guards are all like, where's that smell coming from?
Okay. It doesn't mean you can pass wind without a trace.
God. Okay, good. So we go up to the second door.
Do you open the door?
Me? No.
Did we check this one already? I check it.
You check it.
Or will I investigate
roll, roll investigation.
Oh, that's probably the best intelligence roll I've ever had. It's a 15.
Yeah, from what you can tell, it's not trapped.
Okay, he tries to open it.
It opens.
Oh.
Nice.
And?
Various art and statues line the walls of this room and is very tied together by a large rug. A simple bed rests near the southern wall with a chest at the foot of the bed. On the western wall sits another large chest and a wardrobe.
Statues. Do they look like anything in particular?
It's beautiful.
The statues look like there's one naked man. He's holding a dragon fruit. His penis is very small, but his buttocks is very robust.
Mm. Wow.
He also has inverted nipples.
I don't like that.
I'm not afraid of new things.
The other two
we
are
love
a,
all bodies here on Modus
yes,
Critica.
Yes, we do. The other two are...
Except for inverted nipples.
Stop it!
No! I'm a huge fan of inverted nipples.
Nothing wrong with inverted nipples.
Love those. Short, small, long.
Again, nothing wrong with any body type. The other two are larger busts, and they are definitely nude.
Nice.
I think your mentor had a problem, Nevlin. And just like, this was what they used for like Pornhub back in the day.
Right, yes. This is the porn room. Oh, God.
This is a single bed. Some chests. Yeah. I bet they're open. It's full of Kleenex.
Yeah. This is where they kept all their rods.
Oh, God. Okay, so anyway, yes, the other two are
guys, are you kidding me? Sorry.
Are larger busts. A nude woman and a man. And standing side by side, looking at each other with their fingers touching.
Ooh, this one's progressive. like it. The intimacy is real in their touch.
As Dario stands with his finger on his chin, peering at the art.
Oh, sorry. Chests. Yeah, look at those chests.
The other chest.
Oh, the other chests.
Yeah, Torque's going to go look at the chest at the foot of the bed. He's just going to try and open it willy-nilly. Yeah.
Go ahead and roll with your lockpicking set.
Oh, it's locked.
Yeah.
Good okay. One try.
I need to just stand up for this a little bit. Okay. Okay. Come on. It breaks.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 4 + 3, 7.
Yeah, that's not going to do it. Not going to do it. Close, but not good enough. Yeah, so it's still locked.
Oh boy, I couldn't quite get that one open, guys. I'm right out of lockpicks, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna go check the other chest.
Yeah, you go to the other chest, and it opens freely.
I step back.
Nothing happens.
I step forward.
You look into the chest, and it's filled with, like, old robes.
Nevlin, do you want to come check out this wardrobe-y stuff? Looks like a tickle trunk, and I don't want to get tickled.
Are you in the wardrobe?
No, I'm in the chest.
No, the tickle trunk. I see.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess Nevlin comes over and takes a look. Is there anything cool in there?
Just in the wardrobe? Robes?
No, in the chest.
The tickle trunk.
In the chest, there are just old robes. They just look tattered old robes. It's just full of old robes.
Okay,
bunch of old robes, Cornelius.
I'm all like, ooh, acorns and pine cones, and look at this deer frolic, and bam, you know, fire. I don't know what the robes are for.
Ooh, material possessions. I don't.
Okay. Well, I mean, I am wearing a cloak and this sweet <You don't>... t-shirt, but.
You only know what cloaks are for, not robes.
Well, I don't want to fuck with the wizard's robes.
Yeah.
Can I check up those sleeves?
Can I check in and around the bed to see if there's, like, you know, a little secreted away key or anything like that?
Yeah.
Roll me an investigation.
Investigation is 17.
You successfully look very hard but find no keys.
Damn it, there was probably something way cooler than dirty old tattered robes in this locked one.
Okay, what about the wardrobe then?
Yeah, you open the wardrobe, pull out the drawer in the bottom, and it's filled with pantaloons. You open up the pantaloon, and each pair of pantaloons...
Are there any keys in the pockets?
...says Clarence Kingston Esquire on the inside of the pantaloons. And as you open the actual wardrobe itself, there are several robes of the Circle of Magi in the wardrobe with the white insignia on the side of the hood.
Who's got the bag of holding?
I do.
Dario, I'm going to put 5 of these robes in your bag of holding. Is that all right with you?
Yes, that's a great idea.
Are we going to dress up in them?
Yes, we probably will.
We might get the opportunity one day, and I would really like to be prepared because that's my favorite trope.
Yes.
Yeah.
we'll probably have to get one of them resized for you there, Nathan.
Yeah, you're small.
I suppose technically I already have a pair, but they're pretty tatted up right now.
Yeah. We'll resize one for you too, Torque. You're big.
Yeah. I'm big, but I'm also small. So maybe we could stop at a seamstress one of these days.
I can't wait to go and see a seamstress. That will be a great person to see.
Maybe on our day off we can get a churro, a Torkin, and we can go to the seamstress, maybe pop in to see Aldith. It'll be a nice day.
I know how to sew.
You're... kidding.
Well, then we don't need to do any of that.
Dude, does it look like I'm joking?
I am now further surprised.
Always a little, yeah.
That's really cool. Okay,
you guys
great.
Don't know how? That's just, like, what do you do when you rip your clothes?
Well, I'm
use
9.
Mending.
Magic.
Yeah, I use magic.
I just get in...
Lazy man sewing.
Okay, let's not judge each other too much here.
No, when it comes to sewing and cheese...
You're great. Okay.
All right, anyways,
well, if we can't open this chest, I guess maybe there's nothing else in this room.
Can we break it open, Dork? Can you fall on it backwards?
You could break it open.
I could sit on it.
All right, I pull out my mace. I'm just like, okay, well.
Everyone roll initiative.
I gotta smash this fucking thing open.
You're going to take a hit at it?
Yeah, I'll take a hit at it.
But what if there's something sensitive
ahead.
On the inside?
We roll the hit on this because it's a smaller chest. I'm going to make sure you hit it.
12 plus 5 for 17.
Yeah, you smash it, so roll your damage on that.
Okay. I do 7 damage.
You smash in the top, and it definitely breaks a bunch of the wood on the top. The iron itself dents a little bit, but you shatter almost through the wood, but it's not. You can hit it one more time, it probably would go through.
All right. Oh, just back up a little bit there, Torque.
And oh, yeah.
That is going to be a 13.
Yeah, you smash through the wood. Yeah. Kick 30% of a D100.
Let's do 50 to 80.
Yeah, so you successfully smash through it without breaking the contents, and you see a glimmer at the bottom, and as you reach your hand inside, you pull out a potion of invisibility.
Hey!
Oh.
Well, there we go. We got that potion of invisibility. Obviously, Cornelius will take this one, right?
I'll take it. I never really had one before.
I just have a good feeling about it. That's why.
Okay.
And you guys are now leaving the room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you all roll me a perception check as you're leaving the room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Natural one.
17.
21.
Okay.
That was a 15.
Okay, so as you guys leave, all aside from Cornelius, he walks out first, doesn't even see it. But as you guys are all walking out, there is a poem on the wall, pinned to the wall, just as you're exiting the room, that you probably would have noticed on your way in.
What is this?
Nevlin's gonna pull it down and read it.
Okay, so it says, "Once a living, moving thing, it now lay in wait amongst the star. For when the flames of light burn true, the tips must burn, not orange, but blue."
Huh?
Bring it with us! I don't know.
Once a living, moving thing, now lay in wait amongst the star. For when flames of light burn true, the tips must burn, not orange, but blue.
Blue.
Definitely using oxyacetylene cutting torches. He's not brazing.
What about those statues over there? They're touching tips.
They're touching tips.
Yeah, fingertips. Just to be clear.
Is there a star underneath them? Or is there any star motifs around here?
No.
Well, let's get out of here.
Maybe we don't have to worry about it right now.
You guys found a poem? All right, cool. Anyways, I'm going to keep moving.
Okay, hang on. Wait up.
Yeah, we'll hang around that corner and down the southern hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look around to see if there's anything of relevance to this poem, but you find literally nothing. It makes no sense in this room. So you guys enter this long corridor down to the south, and it goes 70 or 80 feet down or so. And you get to the bottom, and there's a door.
Classic hallway.
All right, Torque.
I don't have any more lockpicks, though, guys.
Oh, my God. Torque.
What?
I mean, oh my Mercule. Torque.
yeah, what?
Drongo. Drongo Kigdapper.
I don't know who that is.
He was the guy in the cell.
He's the dwarf guy in the cell, yeah.
Right after Gord died.
He did. Yeah. Threw some,
and
like...
And we got locked up. He gave us the thingies.
Right here.
Oh my goodness, he gave us the janky lockpicks.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'll try again. Hopefully not at disadvantage because they're homemade.
Probably at disadvantage because they're homemade.
We're going to say that the rest of the parts in your lockpick set, you're able to fashion these with those together to make a regular check lockpick. So you have two more lockpicks.
Okay, well, with these powers combined, I think I've made an even better lockpick than that guy made.
So Drongo. Here
we Drongo, yeah. Here we go. Oh, fuck me. 13.
13 will do this one.
Great, amazing.
Yeah. You line up the tumblers. You feel the tumblers as they go, and it all lines up. You push top to bottom, and you turn the handle. The door clicks. As it opens, a sudden, loud noise, painfully intense, erupts from the door, and...
I guess
all of you except Nevlin, who seems to be, like, quite a ways up... are going to take 3d8 thunder damage.
Jesus.
As the spell Shatter is cast, as the door was magically trapped.
Oh.
You need to make a constitution saving throw.
All right, here we go. That was not very good.
Okay.
I got 12.
Torque rolled a 14.
Woo!
Dirt twat!
Okay, so Dario and Torque, you're both going to take 10 damage. Cornelius, you're going to take 5 damage. Spud is going to take 5 damage as well.
Anyways, the door's open, so that's good.
Ah!
Nevlin walks by you guys as you're all hurting, and he's like, hey, you get that door open yet? And you see the dissipation of the glyph that you recognize as his mage armor spell as he walks by you.
All right. What do we see? More? Is there any doors?
No more doors, just a corridor that goes to the west.
Oh, snap.
Oh, no.
As you pass through the final door, the passageway continues around another corner and westward on. You notice the flicker of candlelight as you make your way down and enter the next room. A large inverted pentagram lay on the floor, drawn in salt, lit and surrounded by candles, save one unlit candle. A low table rests near the arcane symbol filled with various trinkets, fabrics, and candles. Clearly, a shrine of sorts.
Torque's gonna shove a potion.
Okay. Fuck off, dude. I see the one candle not lit. The rest of these are orange. They're not supposed to be orange. They're supposed to be blue. Is there a way to turn this blue?
I have no idea.
Once a living, moving thing, now lay in wait amongst the star. For when the flames of light burn true, the tips must burn not orange, but blue. I have a hard time saying orange in this voice. Whatever we do, let's look around a bit before we try lighting that one solitary and ominous candle in the middle of the room there. Nevlin's gonna approach the altar and investigate.
Okay.
That is a 19.
Yeah, so you approach the altar and you look at the... roll me an arcana check.
Ooh, haven't done that one in a while.
Ooh, I like these candles.
19.
Yeah, so you can tell that there has definitely been some ritualistic magic going on here. Everything has been placed with intent. Everything has a place, and there is some blood in one spot that you can see where the blood is dried, and then more blood is on top and dried, and more blood goes on top and dried, and more blood goes on top and dried. Nothing's been changed. I'm sure if you moved, like, something that was on the shrine, there would be a clean spot underneath, where everywhere else there was dust, you know?
Mm-hmm. This room's been set up like this for a long time, but it looks like they're performing some kind of blood magic, let's keep looking around here.
Can I do a religion check? Is this arcanic, or is it...
This is arcana, for sure. Also, you would know, Nevlin, that these candles are lit by Everflame. Once you light this flame, these flames, they never go out.
Okay.
I'm gonna go investigate the one lone candle.
Yeah, you walk up and it's a candle that is unlit.
Nevlin, I'm thinking about lighting this candle.
Hold on, Corny.
Okay, I produce flame on my finger. I'm just gonna hold the flame in my hand.
Okay.
Nevlin's kind of looking around. He's like, we must have missed something.
Well,
look, there's no fucking door into this place, is there? I mean, we saw that the wall was sliced out, but I didn't see an entrance. Maybe this is how they're getting in and out.
Maybe. It has to do with the poem, though, right? Like, you know, I light my candles, and I light them blue. I got a spell for this. I can change these candles. I can make them blue, right?
Can you?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes, I can. Okay. Transmutation. It's a very basic divine spell. I hope I'm not messing it with anything, but I can turn some of these blue.
I think you will be messing with something regardless, but...
Should we light that one unlit candle blue? Maybe it turns the rest of them blue.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know...
I don't know what else we would do.
Then let's turn it blue.
Well, wait a second. Doesn't the hotter the flame get, the bluer it gets?
Well, it has to do with oxygen content, but...
Oh, okay.
That does make it hotter, yeah.
Oxygen, what is this wizard speech?
He does not know his elements.
Okay, well, I don't know. Blue, this is what I'm offering, Cornelius. What do you think? What can you do?
I say we just light this other candle.
Okay, when you light it, can I turn it blue? Because that's the only way that it is true.
I'm just going to wait for the go-ahead from Nevlin.
I'm going to...
I guess if I'm in charge here, just give me a moment. And Nevlin's gonna ready an action. And the action that he's gonna ready is Expeditious Retreat.
Okay.
And wow. He goes and stands by the hallway.
Okay, Torque is gonna go by the entrance and he's gonna just retreat into the shell. Just in case.
It's a vote of confidence here there, guys.
Maybe we just got struck by a bunch of like thunder and stuff. And it's just... Gotta prepare.
No, you're right. Being cautious is good. Okay, well, I guess I was just a little bit frightened by your guys' actions, because I guess I don't want things to go wrong. I'd rather not be in it, but I guess we're doing it.
Okay, so who's lighting the candle?
Cornelius is gonna light it, and then I'll turn his shit blue.
Okay, so Cornelius, you light the candle, and you feel a wind, like a breeze, kind of come over the room, but it doesn't. The candles flicker a smidge, and just at that, Dario, you cast Thermaturgy.
Yes.
And all of the candles turn blue.
Oh!
And then you hear a stone click, pop, drop, and recede into itself as a slab in the wall moves out of the way, revealing another room.
By far the most lavish room of all, this room is carpeted with fine rugs and painted in exquisite colors. Paintings of each of the 8 schools of magi hang on the wall, and a fine leather chair sits in the corner of the room next to yet another unlit hearth. On the north wall, there is a desk with a drawer, quill, and inkpot resting neatly on its top.
Nevlin will check the desk for sure.
Yeah, it looks nothing out of the ordinary aside from the fact that you pulled on the drawer and the drawer is locked.
Can I go sit in the leather chair? Talk.
Oh, you need a janky lockpick?
Yeah,
I can open it for you.
Picks.
Okay, let me just try it out here.
Nevlin backs up like 10 feet.
I probably should have. Yeah, it's an 8.
Yeah, you snap the picks and it doesn't go.
I'm tired of this. Okay, I got one more.
All right, I'm going to give you some guidance. Come on, Tork.
Mercule
will guide you in this endeavor, hopefully.
This is a pretty split day for me today with the whole being a thief thing. That's, so plus 4, right?
Roll a 1d4.
Yeah,
it is nice. A 4.
So 13.
Yeah, okay, 13
great.
Does it.
Thank God.
You find your way, and then the lock clicks, and the drawer slides open.
All right, what do we find in there?
Inside the drawer is the journal of your mentor, Magister Kingston.
Oh, this is diary.
Holy shit.
All right, Nevlin, this is... Here you go. Give it a whirl.
You want to read a little bit of it out loud? We'll find out all its secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to need to take some time with this, but hang on. And he just kind of starts skimming it. He's going to read it as much as he can.
So you flip it open to the first page of the journal, and it says on the top left-hand corner, 12th of Hammer, 1457.
We arrived today, about midday, though it's hard to tell in this place. We have no contact with the outside world, but I suppose it's safer that way, especially considering the nature of our research. We have been given clear instructions in regards to the test sample and our function here, but I have been strong-armed into this position, and am not feeling at ease about it. The shady Seraphim character and her obnoxious brute of a brother lead me to believe that I was right all along. They must indeed have an ulterior motive. We will continue as ordered, but let it be known. I was never given an option. I fear this will end in disaster.
And that's where we're ending the session.
Shit.